WBSM presents The Tim Weisberg Show, streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app. Now, The Tim Weisberg Show.
Good morning. Happy Monday to you. Welcome into a new day and a new week here on the program. And it's a beautiful morning out there. It's a little chilly to start, but it's going to warm up and it's a bright sunny day. In fact, the sun's right in my face. Thought I had the blinds down enough and then the sun peeked through. So I'm just going to turn away till the first break. It is also a sad morning if you missed the news at the top of the hour. Pope Francis passed away at the age of 88, one day after Easter, one day after he had emerged to make his last public appearance. He blessed the thousands of people that were in St. Peter's Square and then took a surprise Popemobile romp through the piazza. But he also, you know, as we know, had been in poor health recently, spending 38 days in the hospital with double pneumonia. This after he had dealt with chronic lung disease throughout his entire life, including having part of one of his lungs removed as a young man. So it seemed like he was out of the woods on that, but as you know, especially at that age and with that medical history, double pneumonia can be something that is a persistent issue and have lingering effects. So the Pope has passed away at the age of 88, which means there will be a conclave to elect a new Pope. I'm not sure the exact timing of all that. I know that there's procedures that are followed. And if I remember correctly, I forget how many days the conclave was to elect Pope Francis, but I remember there was a bit of time for that. And some were of the belief that he was the right man to lead the church into this, well, we were already in the new millennium, but to take a new millennium approach, because Pope Francis was a little less conservative, certainly than the previous pope. But there were some who criticized the way that he embraced some necessary changes in the church. So we'll see what happens. We'll see what direction the papacy goes. You know, there's a lot of, if you've seen the movie Conclave, while that movie is a lot about the political machinations of choosing a pope, the procedure is accurate. The way that they do it in the film, and really it is a political thing within the church as well. But that movie did a fantastic job of portraying, you know, the way that they take the vote. And so that'll be something that goes down in the very near future. But for now, we mourn the loss of Pope Francis, who I'm not a Catholic. I'm not of any religious persuasion. But from the moment he was announced as the Pope, I just felt like he was a genuinely good person. And considering, I think Pope Benedict didn't seem as affable to people and I don't really know that much about his personality, but, you know, coming from the beloved John Paul II, it was a little bit of a harsh turn in terms of the public image of the Pope, but then Pope Francis kind of brought that back. I mean, he was on Twitter. He participated in viral videos. He seemed to be a pope for the times. And again, we'll see where it goes from here. I couldn't even tell you who the possible candidates are. I don't know that there are even religious scholars that could tell you. But we'll hear more about it in the coming days. It was also the 250th anniversary of the Revolution this weekend. In fact, today is Patriots Day and Marathon Monday. So if you're heading up to Boston for the marathon, whether you are driving or taking the train, I hope you have a safe trip. And if you are on the train, I hope there is plenty of people to drive the train. You heard Mike say in the news that to make up for some of the issues that South Coast Rail has had, especially on the weekends, they are extending the free weekend service through May. That's a big deal. Provided they have enough people to bring you home. You know, I'd been thinking, oh, well, if I go to Boston Calling, I can take the train. Because it's kind of a pain to park. There's nowhere to park around Harvard. You got to take the train to, I usually go to Quincy Adams and then take the train from there. I was like, I'll just take the train from New Bedford. And then I second guessed that, not only because of the weekend service issues, but also because of the timing. I was thinking about it. I was like, well, I got on the train. Like after 11 from Harvard. And if the last train leaves South Station for New Bedford at 11:57, I might not make that last train. And what if I get on that last train and it's full? There's no other train. So I think I might just go with the Quincy Adams plan. The $9 or whatever it is that I pay to park, not a big deal. But perhaps you have plans to go to a Red Sox game, or you just want to get up to Boston while it's not quite tourist season, but it's warm and nice weather. Well, then you might take advantage of those free weekends. If I can point to any pattern, it seems like the issues with the drivers of the train, I guess. It seems like the issue, it's would be weird to call them engineers because they're not like a train engineer. But the issue has been on Sunday evenings, it seems. So if you're going on a Saturday, it seems like Saturdays have been okay. But now we have to start asking the question after a couple of weekends of this happening, what is the problem? Is this a legitimate issue where people are ill and they don't have people to cover the shift because they launched too soon before they had enough people trained on that route and certified on that route? Or is it that the employees are doing this as a form of protest for some reason? To say, you know what, we're all going to call in sick on Sunday so then they don't have anybody to bring the trains back to New Bedford and Fall River. But maybe you took the train up on Friday to see Paul Revere's ride, the 250th anniversary of Paul Revere's ride. I was going to go up there. I got way behind in work. And I knew by the time I got up there, if I got up there, I would be unable to really see anything. And then on top of that, I didn't get out in time. I was here till like 9 o'clock. Because we went and tried a off-menu sandwich that I wrote about at WBSM.com and on the WBSM app that you need to check out for yourself. So if you're not familiar, I think we've talked about it a little bit here, but Rico's Pizza, which had opened in the old Buster's about a year ago, they shut down. Their last day of operation was Super Bowl Sunday, and it reopened as a revamped restaurant with a whole different menu and concept, and now it's called Tailgate Sports Bar and Grill. And they have a much more diverse menu. But I guess Rico's was just pizza, salad, and chicken wings. And a lot of people that went there complained that that's all they could get. Now, that's fine if you are, you know, a new restaurant that just opened and it wasn't opening up in the old Buster. You know what I mean? People already had their what they were used to from Buster's. And this was a completely different idea, and folks weren't prepared for that limited menu. Now, I would say if you go into a place and you don't know what they have and you're upset because they only have pizza and chicken wings and salad, that's on you because you should have checked the menu before you went. But anyway, they now have a more expensive menu. And as part of that, they have, so Kristen, who works with me here, you probably heard us talk about her, or maybe you've heard her pop on the show from time to time. And certainly she's the person who helps us behind the scenes with coming up with some social media content and article ideas, but her real job's in sales. So if you are looking for some advertising, you can reach out to her, kristen.pacheco@townsquaremedia.com. Or just email me, tim@wbsm.com, and I'll connect you. But she's also the person that gets me out of the office, who says, you know what, you got to get outside, you got to do some things. She's the one that got me to bring my bike in, and I keep it in her office so I can ride my bicycle sometimes. And she's the one that gets me to leave and actually go places, which end up a lot of times turning into stories. And when Tailgate opened, she was there on the first night, and she sent me a text that just said, salted caramel chicken wings. And I said, what? That sounds good, but I don't know that that works together. So a couple weeks later, I went in. I was actually right after our Hunger Heroes food drop. I left the mall and I was on my way to Dash to drop off some laundry. And I said, oh, you know what? I'm going to get some lunch. I'm going to try those chicken wings that Kristen mentioned. So I got the salted caramel boneless chicken wings, and they were phenomenal. And I told her, I said, hey, you were right. Good call. And she said, well, what about this? Imagine a chicken breast sandwich, a fried chicken breast sandwich, on a pretzel bun with that sauce. And we just kept talking about it. And she said, you know, they have a pretzel bun. They do a buffalo chicken sandwich on a pretzel bun, which itself sounds like a really unique combination. But she said, what if they could do the salted caramel instead of the buffalo sauce? And so we went there and we tried it. We asked, can we order something off menu? And they said they would do it, no problem. And so we ordered it, and it came out, and we split it. It was excellent. But then we were talking with Chef Rui, and he said, well, I think I could make that a little better. And he said, hang on. I'm going to make you another one, and then I want you to compare this one with the first one you had. And then he went back there, and he grilled up the bun a little bit, and he buttered the bun, and he put the salt on the bun, on the buttered bun, and we had the arugula, the tomato, and the bacon on it this time. We had taken it off the sandwich previously because we wanted to just experience the salted caramel. And we're like, what? This is incredibly, like, levels above what we already had. So we wrote about it, made a little video. You can check it out at WBSM.com, on the WBSM app, on our social media platforms. And if you go out there and try it, let me know what you think. I was at Gifts to Give on Saturday doing a little shopping. I'm trying to move into the proper size of summer shirts. I think I can wear most of the shirts that I had last summer, but some of them are already like a little bit too big. So I like to drop off some clothes there and then go get some new ones. And as I was in there trying on some shirts, someone came up to me and said, "Salted caramel chicken, really?" So hopefully they went out and tried it. And if you do, I'd love to find out what you think. You can either send me an app chat message or an email, tim@wbsm.com, or even better, comment under the story on the WBSM Facebook page. Share a photo of your sandwich and let me know what you think. But that's what we love to do here. We love to come up with fun things that you can try for yourself. All right, I've got to take my first break of the morning. Don't forget, even though today is technically a Masters at State holiday, and I think the banks are closed, right? But our bank is open because we're still going to give away $1,000 today. So you'll get your first Money Talks cash code of the day coming up in the 8 o'clock hour, and then one every hour throughout the day. But stay tuned for that first one coming up in the 8 o'clock hour. Right now, though, let me take that break, and we'll be back in a few moments. These young girls won't let me be. Lord have mercy on me. Boys, me. All right, welcome back. And we're going to be going into the newsroom in just a moment and getting the top stories of the day from Mike Roberts. When we come back on the other side of that, we can take your calls, 508-996-0500. And yes, we will talk a little WrestleMania this morning. So if you watch it and you have thoughts, I'd be interested in hearing them. I certainly do. And we'll share all of them coming up. But right now, it's time to go into the newsroom and get all the big stories of the day from Mike Roberts.
Remember mad cow disease? It may be back in a different form. Three dead in a New York house fire, and crosswalks hacked in Washington.
From the Cottage Street Motors WBSM newsroom, this is WBSM News.
Tributes are pouring in for Pope Francis, who died this morning at age 88.
Vice President J.D. Vance met Pope Francis at the Vatican on Easter Sunday, just hours before the Pope died.
Pray for you every day. Bless you.
Your friend with a lay on your jaw.
After the news broke, the Vice President said his heart goes out to the millions of Christians all over the world who loved him. French President Emmanuel Macron said that Pope Francis always sided with the most vulnerable and the most fragile, and said a great pain would be felt in France and around the world. Israeli President Isaac Herzog called Francis a man of deep faith and boundless compassion who fostered ties with the Jewish world. I'm Michael Kastner.
A tech company partnering with the University of Pittsburgh to create AI-powered tools for faster detection. The tech company Leidos has put $10 million towards the project. Their five-year collaboration will focus on developing AI that can quickly detect illnesses such as heart disease and cancer, aiming to reduce diagnostic turnaround times. Leidos has operated a national laboratory for cancer research for more than 25 years. A fatal rare brain disorder similar to mad cow disease has killed two people in Oregon.
The deaths were confirmed by the Hood River County Health Department on April 14th. Health officials say in the last 8 months, there's been one confirmed case and two possible cases of the illness, Creutzfeldt-Jakob disease. Out of the three cases, two have died. The health department said that there is currently no identifiable link between the three cases, and the risk of getting the disease is extremely low. I'm Lisa Carton.
Over 130 international students can stay in the U.S. for now, thanks to a federal judge in Atlanta. We get more from Scott Carr.
A temporary restraining order was issued Friday by U.S. District Court Judge Victoria Calvert against ICE and other federal agencies after the students' visas were suddenly revoked. The judge's order prevents the deportation of 133 students from at least five countries and demands that the students be placed back in the Federal Student and Exchange Visitor Program, which is used to track non-immigrant students and exchange visitors.
The number of measles cases in the U.S. has risen to 800.
On Friday, the CDC announced there were nearly 100 new cases over the last week. The majority of the cases remain in Texas, but there are now confirmed cases in 24 different states. So far, 96% of this year's cases have occurred in unvaccinated people. Officials say if these trends continue, the United States could surpass the measles outbreak of 2019 and potentially reach the highest number of cases since 1992. I'm Rob Martier.
Three people are dead, several others injured, as a fire tore through a house in Queens. Larry Kofsky has the details.
Fire officials say it started shortly after 1 a.m. at the home on Chevy Chase Street. It apparently began on the first floor and spread quickly to the second floor and the attic. There were people living on all floors, and investigators say it appears there were no working smoke detectors. New York Fire Chief Robert Tucker.
It's a very crowded house in there, a lot of occupants. And I'll say it again, I won't stop saying it. Smoke detectors save lives.
One of the injured is in critical condition. Three firefighters suffered minor injuries. There's no word on what caused the fire.
The Seattle Department of Transportation says it has fixed crosswalk push buttons that were hacked to play a message mocking billionaire Jeff Bezos.
The department says crews tracked down and repaired hacked crosswalk buttons. The buttons were hacked to play an apparently AI-generated voice claiming to be the former CEO and founder of Amazon with an important message. The voice goes on to say, "Please don't tax the rich, otherwise all the billionaires will move to Florida too." Adding, "Wouldn't it be terrible if all the rich people left Seattle or got Luigi'd and then the normal people could afford to live here again?" The Luigi comment references murder suspect Luigi Mangione. I'm Mark Mayfield.
WBSM Sports.
It was the Celtics over the Orlando Magic at the Garden last night in Game 1, 103-86. Game 2 is Wednesday at 7 o'clock. The Red Sox winning streak stopped at 4 yesterday afternoon as the White Sox beat Boston 8-4. Those two are back in action this morning at 11:10.
Now your ABC 6 South Coast forecast.
Look for mostly sunny skies as we go through the day today. Your high on the South Coast will be near 54. Overnight tonight, mostly cloudy. Showers will likely develop after midnight. Your overnight low near 46. And as we go to Tuesday, look for clearing to sun, and it will be milder, too. Look for your Tuesday high near 61. From the ABC 6 Weather Center, I'm meteorologist Kelly Bates on New Bedford's News Talk Station 1420 WBSM.
This WBSM News Update is brought to you by Stevie's Wine and Spirits. Look for the purple dot to try before you buy, only at Stevie's Wine and Spirits in Fairhaven. I'm Mike Roberts for WBSM News. Stay up to date with New Bedford's News Talk Station, WBSM, and get breaking news alerts and all of our content with the WBSM app.
I'm gonna make a change for once in my life. It's gonna feel real good. Gonna make a difference. Gonna make it right. As I turn up the collar bone, my favorite winter coat, this wind is blowing my mind. I see the kids in the street, but not enough to eat. Who am I to be blind?
And welcome back in. So they're actually working on a feature film about Michael Jackson's life, and I think from what I heard, I thought I heard it was going to be a two-part film, so I'm assuming one half will probably focus on, like, say, his youth up until Thriller, and then maybe the rest of it is after that. But it'll be interesting to see how much of that actually is a true biography, you know, because some of these musical biopics that have come out in recent years, they haven't really been 100% truthful. Like, for example, the Bohemian Rhapsody really kind of glossed over a lot of
Freddie Mercury's story in history, but that's because the filmmakers were working with the band and they had a specific way they wanted to portray the story. And a lot of people criticized them for it, but the movie did extremely well, won Oscars, and was a huge box office success. So I guess in the end, the movie won out over the real story. And then the Elton John biopic, Rocket Man, that had some, I guess, dramatic license, we'll call it. But they did that as a way, they kind of softened that by presenting it as a very like it wasn't grounded in reality anyway. It was a very fanciful film to begin with. So that kind of gives you some of that dramatic license. And I don't know if you saw the movie. It got a lot of hate when it came out. But Better Man, it's the biopic of Robbie Williams. And now Robbie Williams isn't really a huge star in America, but he was a huge star in the UK. He was part of the boy band in the 90s, Take That. And then he had a number of solo hits. Probably his biggest hit in the U.S. was Millennium. But he was someone who, he had a very interesting life that led up to that. And he's still, he's a guy, he's a big believer in UFOs. And he has spent significant time and money looking into UFOs. He is someone who has, and I believe has claimed to have abduction experiences. He is a controversial figure. He has definitely had some controversial opinions. And I'm sure some of that didn't help the movie's popularity. But also, they decided that instead of having somebody play Robbie Williams in the movie, he would be portrayed by a CGI primate. Because as he explains at the beginning of the film, that's how he sees himself. So there's like a CGI chimpanzee that is Robbie Williams for the movie. But the movie was actually very, very good. But it was a box office bomb. Like historic level box office bomb. But I watched it when it came on streaming and I was like, well, this wasn't bad. Why didn't people like it? And I guess the concept of it probably turn people off. Either that or it's just they're like, who? Robbie Williams? Didn't he have that song like back in like 1999? I mean, he had, what was it, Rock DJ too? That was also a pretty big hit. But anyway, that's my biopic movie review segment of the morning. We can certainly take your calls on the passing of Pope Francis if you have thoughts on that at 508-996-0500. App chat also open on the WBSM app. We could also talk about WrestleMania. I know those two things are extremely different, but I'm sure folks have thoughts on WrestleMania. Our participation trophy wife says, if I recall correctly, 9 days of mourning while the Cardinals make their travel plans and they vote amongst themselves for their next leader. Generally accepted that the older than 80-year-old Cardinals are out of contention for the papacy. Well, when you think about how, we were fortunate to have Pope John Paul for as long as we did, Pope John Paul II. That I guess throughout history, papacies were not multi-decade rule. But there was a variety of political reasons behind that back in many of those papacies. So it's been, 12 years? It was 12 or 13 years of Pope Francis. So that's pretty significant. I saw it in this 12 years. So that is pretty significant for a papacy. But yeah, I can understand what they did want to have younger people. But this is, keep in mind, this is a political decision. that these votes will be campaigned for by people who want the job. And every time the discussion becomes, will we see an American Pope? And there were some who felt that, you know, Sean O'Malley was on his way to being the possible first American Pope. I don't know if his name's going to go down in history as somebody that should have been. But that the, you know, the issues that happened with the Boston diocese probably played a part in some of that decision making. You can also send those app chat messages and those open line voicemails. Now, Cardinal O'Malley did retire, and he is 80, so he is not in the running this time. But there will be those who felt like he should have had his opportunity. Let me take my next break here. When we come back, 508-996-0500. We'll be back in just a few moments. And welcome back in, 508-996-0500. Those first two Seal albums, those were like my chill-out albums in the 90s. Those were like, I want to put on something kind of relaxing that's not going to, you know, I can have it playing in my room, because at the time I still lived at home with my parents, playing in my room without waking up the rest of the house. Those were always my go-to. So I have something to announce. It comes from Councillor Brian Gomes, the chairman of the Committee on Public Safety and Neighborhoods for the City Council. And he would like to invite downtown area stakeholders to a meeting to participate in a conversation. He has a written motion that he's filed requesting that the Committee on Public Safety and Neighborhoods meet with downtown merchants, property owners, and business owners to discuss their concerns and ideas on improvements in the downtown and historical areas, and use this discussion as an opportunity to work together on strategies that can be taken to address the need for increased police presence, cleaning and trash pickup, and other public safety issues in the area. And also asking for the police chief, the fire chief, the tourism director, and a representative from the mayor's office and the Department of Infrastructure to be at that meeting. The meeting is going to be held on Wednesday, April 23rd at 7 p.m. in room 214, the City Council Chamber, located on the second floor of City Hall. And Councillor Gomes is going to be on Freedom Fools tonight with Brian to talk about that more in depth. But he wants to make sure that everybody is aware that they will be having this meeting on Wednesday, April 23rd at 7 p.m., requesting for downtown merchants, property owners, and business owners to come and discuss their concerns and ideas on the improvements in the downtown and historical areas. And as I said, he'll be on with Brian later on to discuss that even more in depth, but there's been a number of folks who are concerned about, since the police station moved out from downtown, about a lack of police presence. There's been a number of crimes that have taken place in that area. So Councillor Gomes is looking for your input and your concerns. Also, we got a message from PJ, who said, on Saturday night around 7 p.m., I saw two yellow buses going up Acushnet Avenue. They both said mass commuter rail. Yeah, and there were commuter buses this weekend, but the good thing is at least they were able to give people a little bit of a heads up that they were going to be having buses due to ongoing staffing issues. And really, it'd be a smart plan to just keep saying that every weekend, because it seems like they're having trouble getting people for whatever reason. Is it actual sickness, or is it a concerted effort on the part of the drivers to not be available? did they not get enough people trained on that route and certified on that route in time before launching? Because if you remember, they were going to launch in May. And then we got the surprise news that it was going to happen in March instead. Was it a matter of, they said, once we got the work done, they said, well, let's just launch it now instead of waiting. Which seemed odd because they had a hiring event like a week before they launched. And I said, well, that's not going to be enough time to hire people and train people. So they must have enough people to start off, but maybe they didn't. And maybe that's the issue here. But would you want to take a bus from South Station to New Bedford? Does it matter to you? It's still a ride home without having to drive, where you can take a nap or play on your phone or whatever it is you were going to do on the train anyway. Does it matter to you? I think it would matter if you were a commuter and it was a weekday and you were trying to either get to Boston or come home from Boston. Because even though the buses get to use the HOV lane, that still might slow you down a little bit. But it might be a faster ride based on the 95-minute train ride. I don't know. I believe it's a direct ride back, at least until, they're saying these buses have been going right back to Fall River and New Bedford. So does that mean they're not stopping in Taunton? They're not stopping in Brockton three times? They're not stopping in Freetown or Bridgewater? But does it matter to you if you're on a bus or a train, if you're just looking to get the ride to Boston? As long as you know ahead of time. Don't think you want to show up on the train platform and they say, well, we're canceling this train and now you've got to get on this bus. I don't think anybody wants that. And now to thank people for using the service, they're going to extend weekends free through May. It's more like to bribe people to use the service, to convince them to use the service. But yes, you'll have free weekends all through May for the South Coast rail stations to and from Boston. So if you haven't taken the train ride yet, maybe this is a good reason to do it. Just take an early train so that you're not, you know, these evening ones seem to be the ones that have the most trouble. 508-996-0500. I've got to take my final break of this hour. And welcome back in. We're going to be going into the news in just a moment. On the other side, we'll talk more with you. 508-996-0500. We can get your reaction to the passing of Pope Francis at the age of 88. They'll have more for you coming up on ABC News. We'll also take your calls and thoughts on WrestleMania as well. We'll talk about that coming up in the next hour.